Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
With all the melodrama with the Browns and the Deshaun stuff and the Stefanski and Barry and this, that, and the other, we've been, I don't want to say we've been lacking on the number two pick talk, but we have not gotten into it a whole hell of a lot. Well, we're going to change that up right now as we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. You know him as a NFL draft and college football analyst for A to Z Sports. You know him from the First Team pod, Ryan Roberts, joining us now. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas. How are you?
Doing very, very well. Thank you for joining us here. So I guess we'll start here. This is seen as a two-quarterback class at the top of the draft. I just am curious, how many quarterbacks do you think could actually go just in the first round in general, though?
Oh, man, it's a great question. I think three is the reasonable number right now. I think when you kind of just really kind of work through the board, and I know there's a lot of teams up top that do need a quarterback, so there's always the possibility that the demand is higher than maybe the supply in this situation. But I really just look at this class, and I think that it's not as bad, but it is similar to like that 2022 group where we only saw one quarterback taken. I do think the top's better than, you know, Kenny Pickett, Malik Willis, like that type of class, right? But I think that there's two for sure. Cam Ward, Shador Sanders will both go in the top 10 unless there's just catastrophically bad draft process here. I think the other guy, though, is Jalen Milroe. I'm really just kind of taking a step back, knowing how NFL teams operate. I've heard nothing but glowing reviews on Jalen Milroe, the person, and I think that a lot of teams, a lot of scouting departments, a lot of coaches are going to convince themselves that, hey, all the inconsistency we saw in Alabama in the second half of the year, I can fix that, but I can't teach him being a 4.3, 4.4 athlete, having a strong arm. So I think number is three. I know there's going to be more conversations about guys like Jackson Dart from Ole Miss and a couple others, but I think that three is the magic number for me right now.
Yeah, I do wonder if the top two in particular are being dragged a little bit by the idea that there aren't that many quarterbacks beyond just what they are. And so I'm a big Shador Sanders guy. Tell me what you like about Shador, and if you think that at number two he's worth the pick.
Yeah, Shador, I think, took a huge step from 2023 to 2024. I thought 2023 was good, but there were some things that I really wanted to see remedy as far as, like, pocket management, the ability to, you know, more not improvise as much. I feel like he played a little too much hero ball in 2023. 2024 was much more within the structure, slide, step up in the pocket, get the ball out more consistently on time, and I think you really saw that. And he is, by every metric that I've seen, film that I've watched, obviously, I think he's the most accurate quarterback in the class, which means his floor is probably about as high as just about anybody in this group as well. Like, I feel good about what I have in Shador. The conversation between him and Cam Ward is going to go to, while Shador has the floor, does he have a ceiling near as high as a Cam Ward? So that's where, like, the interesting conversation. But if you want a guy that is accurate, that has consistently gotten better working within structure of an offense, has been better with pocket management and just the tragedies that we see in just some of these quarterbacks as far as the ability to not take sacks, to force bad turnovers. Like, we've seen Shador take a big step. So I think that accuracy, that floor is something that's going to be really attractive to a lot of teams.
Ryan, when it comes to Milroe, Ward, and Shador, if we get to the ceiling, how do you rank those three quarterbacks on just ceiling alone?
I think as a passer, it's still Cam Ward for me as far as like the ceiling, because I just think that while Milroe might even have a slightly stronger arm, at least it's a conversation, I do think that Cam Ward's ability to throw from multiple platforms still kind of raises his ability overall as a passer. So I think if it's just strictly as a passer, I think Cam Ward does have the highest of those three. But when you add in the fact, you know, the dynamic running ability, because like Cam Ward's a good athlete, like he can evade pressure. He can do some second effort things, you know, working outside the pocket and stuff. But he's not Jalen Milroe. He's not a 4-3 athlete. He's not a guy that you're going to run quarterback read with, quarterback power. Like, he's not going to do that all the time. So I think the overall package, I would go with Milroe. But for me, Cam Ward is the highest level upside passer in this class, just strictly of his passing skills.
All right. So what would you do if you're the Browns at 2 then? Would you take Shador? Would you move out, assuming that Cam goes number 1? And maybe that's a big assumption there.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. I mean, honestly, like, man, it's with what has happened with Watson in the Brown situation, I think you obviously took a swing, right? Like, before the whole legal issues with Deshaun Watson happened, he was a dynamic quarterback in the NFL, and he was a guy that worked out of structure a lot. He was a guy that was exciting with his legs. He just had incredible upside to him. So I would be okay with taking Shador. Now, what does the free agent market look like? Are the Browns in play for a guy like a Sam Darnold, for instance? Like, those questions still need to be answered a little bit. So that's the long of me telling you I would be okay with Shador if you weren't happy with any of the free agent options. But if you were okay with, you know, the 2-3-year contract of a Sam Darnold on a lesser note, but then taking the best player available, like a Mason Graham, or maybe if you want to pair a Miles Garrett with an Abdul Carter from Penn State, like something like that, I would be okay with that route as well. I just really think that it depends on what the Browns' perception is on the free agent market. Is Sam Darnold someone that they like enough that if he plays well during the 2 years, is he a guy that you give another contract to? Like, those are the questions I just don't really know as far as the Browns' perspective. But overall, I would be okay taking Shador, because I think as long as you have a good support system around him, because here's the big misconception on Shador from people that I've talked to. While he's kind of portrayed as this guy that, you know, social media and ruffles feathers and outspoken, I've only heard nothing but glowing remarks of him as a young man. So I'm not as worried about him coming into a locker room and being disruptive and all that type of stuff. I would be okay with taking him at number 2 if there was just not another guy out there that you were confident in at all.
Ryan Roberts, NFL draft and college football analyst for A to Z Sports, the First Team Pod as well, on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So there is still the fact you could go somewhere else instead of quarterback there. I'm kind of fascinated by the Travis Hunter conversation. I think the idea is split on him. Do you think he's a shutdown corner and occasionally maybe a slot threat, or is he a elite wide receiver and occasionally you throw him out there in defensive sets?
He's a corner to me that can also play wide receiver in a limited capacity, because the way I look at it is it's either to do that wavelength of thinking compared to a full-time wide receiver that plays corner some reps. Like, it just kind of gets funky when it's that like, I feel like if you're a corner, you need to play corner, right? Like, you need a lot of reps at it. It's not something where you just run out there and do 10, 15 plays a corner a game. Like, it's much easier to do that as a wide receiver. And honestly, like, one of my scouting buddies that is with a team in the NFL right now, one of his favorite sayings that he gave to me one time was, there's a lot of receivers on earth that look like Travis Hunter, but there's not a lot of corners that look like him, right? That recovery speed, the ability to change direction, the ball skills, like, that's a little bit more rare on the defensive side of football, in my opinion. For me, he's a corner that if maybe a 2-minute drill or there's a big moment in a football game, then I could potentially give him some reps if that's the idea if that's the role that I have for him in my offense. But for me, he's a corner first, wide receiver second.
Browns have 9 total draft picks in this one. I'm thinking like a second or third round running back. They tell me that the running back class this year is absolutely stacked and loaded for multiple rounds. Is that true?
Oh, it is. Yeah. It has an argument. I think defensive tackle is another one that has an argument. Corner has an argument. But I think running back is probably the deepest that we've seen, probably since the Christian McCaffrey year, you know, where it was just kind of littered with first-round talents. I don't think it's quite as heavy on true first-round talents. But we're talking about heavy volume. There's a lot of guys in this class to get really excited about.
So, Ryan, Cam Scataboo was a huge hit in the college playoffs, and there's some debate on what he is in the NFL. Do you think he's an every down back in the NFL?
I don't. I don't. I think that there is a role for Cam Scataboo, absolutely. I think he's a really physical runner. He'll block his butt off. I think he catches the ball pretty well as well. So, like, I think as a third down, bigger back, maybe like a Samaje Perine type as far as like just that role specifically, I think that he's an important part of a room. I don't necessarily look at him and say that is the number one 1A to a committee approach or even just a one in a legitimate workload perspective either. Like, I just don't think he is that because he's physical. He's got pretty nimble feet, but I just think he generally lacks explosiveness at the position. So I tend to look at him more as a important part of a room and a niche player than I do a full-time guy as far as being a lead ball carrier.
I want to go back to the quarterbacks for a second because I have to ask you about Jackson Dart. It's not something I would do, but a lot of Browns fans get excited about the idea of taking a quarterback a little bit later on in the draft. Is Jackson a good category fit for that or no?
I think Jackson Dart, like, he's the guy right now that I think is getting overhyped slightly. I actually like Jackson Dart for what he is. And for me, what he is a guy late day two, late third rounds, early fourth round. Like, I would take a gamble on him to be for me, he's at worst a very good backup option quarterback on the next level, but I'm not sure if it translates necessarily to a full-time starter. Like, I think he could be a stopgap, maybe a bridge type of dude, but I just don't necessarily see starter upside, at least on an extreme level. For me, he's a tough kid. He's very athletic. He was actually offered by many schools coming out of high school initially to play safety because his dad played safety at Utah, actually. So he's a really good athlete. And he is generally accurate, and he is very confident. But I just think there's a lack of arm strength there. Like, I see him try to drive the football. I think it's a little bit inconsistent. Ball flutters at times. And honestly, coming from that Lane Kiffin offense, it is very simplistic. Like, we've seen a lot of Lane Kiffin quarterbacks kind of come in the NFL and really struggle to understand, you know, full progression, setting protections, like that type of stuff. So I think the learning curve of the system on top of just the general lack of arm strength, I view him more as a mid-round guy that could develop and at least be a really good backup quarterback, but I don't necessarily see him as a long-term guy that could potentially transform a room, if that makes sense.
Ryan, real quick, national championship game coming up on Monday. Who do you like? Yeah. How do you see that game going?
Oh, man, who do I like? Man, I'm trying not to let my bias get away here, guys, because obviously I've been a Notre Dame fan my entire life, right? And I will be rooting for them heavily. I think Ohio State is the better team on paper as far as more talent, just flat out. There is something unique about this Notre Dame team, though, because they just play with a little bit of urgency, man. They play a little bit just angry all the time. So maybe it's the fan kicking in. I'm going to pick Notre Dame. I'm a Notre Dame fan that was born in 1991, so at some point the suffering needs to end for me, hopefully. And hopefully it's on Monday because I'm hoping that we have a close, hard-fought game, which I think it will be. I think that they definitely cover the spread. I mean, I think it's down to like 8 points at this point. I think they definitely cover, but I think Notre Dame can win. They just need to turn it into an ugly game. They can't let this turn into any type of shootout or a high-scoring game. They can't beat Ohio State at that game. But if they make the game ugly, I think they could potentially win that one.
Well, Ryan, I've heard that if you are suffering as a Notre Dame fan, I've heard there's a guy for that. I think they got a guy for that.
Yes, I might need it if they lose this game, man. So we might have to get there eventually, but hopefully not.
Ryan, really good stuff, buddy. Appreciate your time. I'm sure we'll be talking to you down the line there. Enjoy the national championship game, just not too much.
Yes, thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
Ryan Roberts there, college football and NFL draft analyst for A to Z Sports. Also, check out the First Team pod on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. The cost of the number 2 pick and reaction to Ryan at 3:22 on 92.3 The Fan.
It's not great. Now, we don't know Ryan well enough to know that might just be how he speaks, right? Mm-hmm. He might just be one of those people like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay with that. Like, that might just be how he is. But yeah, that, no. I mean, it was, he didn't say anything bad about Shador, but being like, I'm okay with taking him number two isn't really run up to the podium and make that selection.
I think the Shador versus Cam Ward, and again, it's out of your hands. So if you're dead set on a quarterback at two, you're just going to have to wait to see what Tennessee does at one, whether they trade out, whether they take a quarterback, whatever. But yeah. It is a fascinating debate between ceiling and floor.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, Shador maybe is the safer pick, but maybe that there's a lower ceiling on that versus what everybody looks at Cam Ward and says, alpha male, ridiculous physical assets, physical tools, but he could fail and fail pretty strongly there. So I think it, if we just narrow it to those two, but I think especially if you throw Milroe in, I think it becomes a really, really interesting conversation of just how you attack quarterback if you're dead set on taking one with a top 33 pick.
Yeah, and it's why I feel like the Titans will end up going with Cam Ward, only because it just feels like one's worth $400 million and one's worth $100 million if we're talking like lottery tickets. His upside is just so incredibly high. I mean, we had Joe on last week, and he said his upside is as high as Patrick Mahomes. How do you hear that and not get excited if you're a Titans fan? But for the Browns, it's not necessarily what the Browns need or want necessarily. You want a guy that you can go right in day one, and the floor is going to be high, and also fits Stefanski's system. And that's the real rub of it all. He fits Stefanski's system in a way that Cam Ward just doesn't.
I've kind of talked myself into, I don't want to say talk, I really like the idea of trading out of two, but staying within the top six or seven. And then using a little bit of what you get to trade down to take that 33rd pick, move into the back end of the first round, and take Milroe.
Oh, you like Milroe?
Yeah. Well, okay. I'm intrigued. One, what everybody says about the kid is what I like in terms of his ability, in terms of who he is as a human.
Uh-huh.
I like the fact that Tommy Rees already knows him. That's a added thing. And then between the runner and the arm, If you can just be patient and just really bring him along, and that might mean you have to go for Kirk Cousins for a year. The ceiling is so tantalizing on what it could be. That is another way to get a quarterback in the conversation of a Josh Allen or a Lamar or a Pat Mahomes, is to take a guy who might be a little farther off but has that ridiculous ceiling and mold him into what you want to be over several seasons. And you still end up getting a top six pick or a top seven pick like a Mason Graham or like the Williams kid out of Georgia that can immediately step in and kind of be an impact player on one side of the ball.
Now, how much of that do you feel like is dependent on who they actually get in the other part of the quarterback discussion? If you do get a Kirk Cousins or if you decide to go a different route?
Yeah, I think that's got to be a huge thing. But I'll say this. Even if you sign Sam Darnold to a three-year deal and Sam's going to be the guy, would not hate it if you moved up and got Jalen Milroe. One, to protect yourself long term from Sam, you know, hitting the fence, and then two, because at some point, right now you need two things.
You still need quarterbacks to fill the room.
Yeah, well, you need quarterbacks to fill the room, and you need a guy to stabilize the position,
mm-hmm.
and then you need a guy that, you know, might be able to give you the chance to compete with the Mahomeses and that kind of talent. They're probably not going to be the same guy. I shouldn't say probably not. It's a lot to ask a rookie quarterback to stabilize that room. And I kind of like that as the workaround.
Well, if you could play the Jordan Love part where he's there for 3 years and he's learning under Sam Darnold. And I mean, who knows? Maybe Sam Darnold ends up being the guy for the next decade. But if you use Sam Darnold for 3 years to then move off to Jalen Milroe, it's not the end. I like that idea. That's not bad at all.
Even a 2 year, right? We're going to give you a 3 year deal, but by year three, all right, Jalen's ready to go. Sayonara, Sam. And because I just like the kind of level thinking there, the thinking on different levels there. But yeah, I mean, it's so funny. I think this is probably a better question for you than it is for me. You are pro Shador.
I'm pro take a quarterback.
You are Shador the bet. What was it? What did we do the other day?
Shador is the cure.
No. I thought it was, oh.
Shador is manure.
No. That's
too
mean.
That was the bad one. That was the bad one.
Be pure with Shador, something like that. I had something. You had.
I told you the two I had.
Yeah.
You created one up as well. Yours was.
No, I don't even remember.
It was a little wordy. I do remember that. It was a little wordy.
No wonder I can't remember the damn thing.
I mean, I was like, I don't know if you can put that on a t-shirt. It's like, you ever seen Sean McVay's t-shirts? So Sean McVay comes up with a bunch of expressions and he puts them on t-shirts and hands them out to all the Rams players all the time. But the big joke on it is that they're not like 4 words long. They're always like 37 words on the back of a t-shirt and it's ridiculous.
So they're like Gruden-esque?
Yeah, they're ridiculous. They're basically like paragraphs that he thinks are like these big, like, go win one for the, you know, but it takes forever.
It really is, by the way. Just as a reminder, Sean McVay is just a clone of John Gruden. That's all he is. Minus the emails. Right? Like they're the same guy. They talk the same. They think the
minus
same.
The emails.
Like it's like, they just found a way to clone him and then, you know, he never hit send. So this is a better question for you though, because you want to be pure for Shador.
Shador is the cure.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's because you want to be pure for Shador? Wait, when was it? Because you think Shador is the cure.
Shador and your problems are no more. We just do this all day. We could do it literally all. It's a great name for a lot of slogans, is what you need to know.
What's your godfather, or is there a godfather offer it to?
No, you're going to hate this answer. You're not going to love this answer. You know my answer. And this is a better question for you than it is for me. Because even though I'm very open-minded, I just said I like your Milrow idea. That's a good idea. And it works for me on a couple different reasons. I really love the Sam Darnold thing. I do. You need to know this. I love the idea of Stefanski
more than
and Sam
Shador.
Darnold. Not more than Shador, but okay. It's like a 1 and then a 1B type scenario. Like, if it happens, I'll be really thrilled. I hate the Kirk Cousins idea.
No.
That with like 10 million fiery passion. I cannot stand the Kirk Cousins thing. But no, to me, there's not a godfather out there that exists to move off of Shador. Shador is the guy. If he's there at 2, you take Shador.
I think there's like 20 godfather
yeah,
offers.
I feel like we could do for another hour the amount of different offers that you would be tantalized by.
I think Vegas makes an incredible amount of sense. But really, where it starts with me is your one, meaning Vegas is one, or the Jets one, or the Giants one, and then a one next year. Everything beyond that, and I would want more, by the way. I wouldn't just want an extra first. I think you need more picks within the top 100 this year. So the Raiders, for instance, have two second-round picks. I'll take one of those as well. But there's another avenue where if there is somebody out there, a la a Dallas, where they've got a Dak Prescott that, all right, now Dak's got to agree to it. We've got to, you know, finagle the money.
Yeah.
But basically, you get an established veteran quarterback, and they act as like your Jared Goff, where you actually don't just get paid for the number two pick. You get paid to take their money off the other team's hand. That's where it really starts to get super tantalizing to me, even though I'm probably pretty stingy on which quarterbacks I'd accept. Like, I wouldn't do the Kyler Murray thing, 2 for $16 and Kyler Murray. I might do it if there's another first rounder attached to it. Or if there are multiple more picks to it. So yeah,
the hard part there is then, even though they throw another first-round pick in there, then you're going to battle with Kyler Murray.
Yep, that's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, because my idea here is...
I'm not thrilled with that.
Because, one, you could still do the Jalen Milroe behind him.
Which is a good... That's a good wrinkle to the plan. I do like that idea. So, I like him being like a Jordan Love type, where he hangs out for a little while. But I also don't have all day either. We got to get a knob at some point.
Neither Dak nor Kyler would preclude me from the Jalen Milroe part. And I really like that kid. And it's so funny, because he did have that second half of the season. The first half looked like he was on pace to be a true first-round pick, and it just kind of fell apart at the end.
Yeah.
I just kind of like that fit for them. But, yeah, I mean, that's the true godfather. If somebody's willing to give you multiple firsts and you get a starting quarterback, I think that's the kind of scenario where if you're the Browns, you then don't have to bid for Sam Darnold on the open market, which even if he gets there could be that there might be enough teams that somebody gives him a dumb contract and that's not where you want to play. It helps you avoid the risk of a Kirk Cousins situation. I'm much more into a Kirk Cousins situation than you are. Mm-hmm. I'm still not sold it to work. And Kyler, like Dak might preclude you from taking a Jalen Milroe. Kyler won't. Kyler's the guy stabilize it now. Kyler's to be your Baker. I need you to go out there and win as many games as you can. And as long as you're competing for the playoffs and winning, you're here. If not, we'll tell you to hit the bricks and move over to the kid as soon as possible.
No, but he's only won 16 games in the previous 3 years.
Yeah, he's also played for... I mean, look at what Arizona's done since...
Well, defensively, they've been a mess, by the way. I should point that out. I mean, we were just a mess defensively, but they've been a mess for 3 straight years.
I'm leaving out a coach. It was Steve Wilks into Cliff Kingsbury into...
Into Gannon.
That there's a lot of two different... GMs or three different GMs in like a 3 year span.
No, he's been through a lot. Well, Baker was through a lot too, though. Yeah. We've had people.
So I kind of think like, all right, you're coming to a scenario where you kind of know the terms a little. And I'm not trying to sell Kyler because that's not the godfather part of it. The godfather part of it is you get a guy that can start a quarterback. That's nice. But which is kind of a boom or bust proposition. He can make what he wants of it, but I'm not beholden to him. But then they have to pay you more. Because we're taking on that money. Because we're taking on that obligation.
Yeah. I just look at the AFC and we need a really good quarterback. We need to find a way to get a really good quarterback. That's why I'm so beholden to the Shador at number two. That needs to be a swing I take.
But what if he does have a lower ceiling?
I know. Well, that's the risk you have to take in that scenario.
But what if his ceiling is... I don't think it is. What if his ceiling is Baker? What if you look at it as the Browns and go, we know we can plug him in right now. He'll be good. We'll be competitive. But if we're just fighting that same game again with you, we don't think he can really go toe-to-toe with Mahomes, Allen, or Lamar.
It's tough. I mean, that's the reason why they moved off Baker, right? Yeah. Like that's a lot of projection there, too, for a person that we've never even seen play.
Which is fair. And by the way, teams get that wrong all the time. I mean, let's... The Rams were wrong about Jared Goff.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe that was something with Mini Gruden minus the emails and Goff that they
I do like this Gruden McVay thing that you're building up.
It's they're the same guy.
I tell you what, man.
I'll tell you what. So teams do get it wrong. I just think that might actually be my biggest concern about Shador than anything. I agree. I think he's much more of a fit than Cam Ward. I get a little leery about taking guys at the top of the draft that might be capped.
But if you say the cap, I mean, I look at Sam Darnold and there's a cap there. I look at Kyler Murray, there's a cap there. I look at Kirk Cousins, there's a cap there. Like, you're signing up for a player that would have that cap already built in.
That's why
the sky's the limit.
That's, well, because we haven't seen him yet.
Because we haven't seen
him. Hell, Caleb Williams got into the NFL, and I was listening to a podcast with Ollie Connolly, who does, I can't remember his Substack name, but he's a writer from overseas. And he was like, yeah, I think I've already reset what I think Caleb Williams' ceiling is. I don't think he understands the speed of the game. Like, that's 1 year. And I think he happens to be right. I think he can be good.
Yeah, we move fast on this stuff.
But and even, like, I mean, I think his rankings on the quarterbacks last year, I think he had it, I think it was Williams, May, and then Daniels, and he reversed them. Yeah. He's now Daniels, May, and Williams. And so I think it's just I'm very leery that there's a guy that can stabilize you and be good right now. And the same guy's going to be the guy who 3 years from now gives you that, you know, the progress that whether it's Jordan Love, that Lamar gave you, the Josh Allen, at least with a top two pick. And who knows, maybe Jalen shoots up the draft boards. I don't know, but if that dude's in the Lamar range of the last pick of the first round, first pick of the second round,
yeah.
that really allows me to then go to that Godfather offer and maybe still get like a Mason Graham at like six. If you could tell me right now, pencil in Mason Graham at six, and let's say Jalen Milroe with a little trade up, maybe you give up your extra third rounder for, and you get the 28th pick.
Okay. I'm with you.
I would just send it in right now. I would be confident that that's a really strong first day of the NFL draft and that you've just reset where your history, where your future's going.
I don't hate it. I'm locked into Shador, you know that, but I don't hate it. Because I'll take Jalen, and as long as you make a swing at the quarterback spot, and Jalen isn't just a, hey, I took Will Howard in the fourth round, and I'm giving it a go. No, that's a real swing at the quarterback spot. If they love Jalen, I'm here for it.
Take, I've been working on it. I think Will Howard might go higher than people expect. 216-474-0092. What's your Godfather offer for two? Where you have to move off. Even if you're a Shador, even if you're a Be Pure for Shador, whatever, I butchered all of them.
No, that was nice. You see, you can throw basically anything with Shador's name and it'll work.
Well, oh no. Take a Shador. I remember take a Shador.
Take a Shador?
For the Cure or something like that.
No.
Yeah. It was take a Shador.
Take something else that starts with an SH. You don't take a Shador.
No, I think I thought I was getting, I thought we were on the same level there. Trust tree with a nest. What's your Godfather offer at two for the Browns in the draft? And one potential reason the Browns should be patient and build this thing the right way. That's at 343 on 92.3 The Fan. Saying there is no Godfather deal for me. I listened to all of Cleveland complain about quarterback, complain about all these rookie quarterbacks, complain about how Denver got off a bad contract and took it. All right, that one. But to play this game, my Godfather deal, number two pick for the 2025 pick, 2026 pick, and 2027. So basically two first and a pick swap this year. I wonder if that kind of deal, and I wonder in a good way, whether that kind of deal is going to be out there because of the dearth of quality options at the quarterback spot. I wonder if there could be a bit of a quarterback palooza going on at the top of the draft. Now, that requires Tennessee to not trade out.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2016, I do think both top teams traded out. The Browns were not the, because remember, the Browns traded to Philly.
You're talking the Carson Wentz one.
But then whoever moved into the first spot, I can't remember who, was it Tennessee then too? I think it was, because that was after they took Mariota. Yeah. Yeah, St. Louis moved up to take Jared Goff in 2016.
You had Goff and then you had Mariota in that one. No, it was Winston and the Mariota. That was that draft.
Oh, no, that's 2015.
That's 2015.
2016 was when Goff or the whoever had, I think it was Tennessee.
Goff and Wentz. Goff 1-2.
Somebody had the number one pick and traded out. That's all that I knew. And then the Browns traded out of the number two pick.
Because then if you go a few years and prior to that, it was then that was the Andrew Luck and RG3 one, where then RG3 obviously cost a boatload of picks.
Yeah, and that helped the Trent Richardson trade up, where he traded up one spot to take a guy who was there for a year, didn't look half as bad as the RG3 trade.
Yeah, it was Tennessee and Cleveland having 1 and 2 in that,
see,
in that trade.
I remembered some things.
I got so confused. I'll take your word for it that you were right there.
No, it's my fault that I confused you, too. Okay. That's the funny part, is I was right about it, but somehow, and not somehow, I just flat out confused you and probably everyone listening here. Ray on Twitter saying, would you consider Bryce Young, depending on Carolina? I'm assuming that's kind of as a part of a Godfather offer. No, not really. And here's why. I don't think Carolina's doing it.
I don't think they're doing it either.
Everything I've heard about Carolina is they think he turned the corner
really,
in the second half of the season.
They really like that second half, I would imagine. You're closer to that situation than I am, obviously, but like he did. He got much better.
We'll see.
The second half. I'm still not buying stock in Bryce Young.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you look at it and you go, guys, he was functional. He was not functional previously.
Hey, but that Chiefs game was within 3 points, Nick.
Hey.
Sure.
One of these days. So As we're having the conversation about Godfather Offers at 216-474-0092, if you guys want to throw out what your cost for the number two pick to move out of that spot and to move away from taking either Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, or one of the quarterbacks would be, I think if you look, and you pointed this out in the pre-show, if you look at the fact that the four teams remaining in the AFC this year are the same four teams that were there last year,
yeah,
which is pretty unheralded. Usually you get two of the four teams. Sometimes you get three of the four. But all four teams, all four of which have no BS, no joke franchise quarterbacks, I think that's another reminder that there are so many teams ahead of you in the AFC. Don't shortcut this just to try and be the seventh best team in the AFC. If it's going to take you an extra season, but you go the longer route, in longer route, I'm talking about a season, not three or four seasons, but it helps you build better to be in this loaded AFC, I think the AFC divisional round is kind of providing you, this is an uphill battle, even if you get the quarterback marginally right this year.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember in recent history when you've had the same four in back-to-back seasons. Now, obviously, they're playing different teams in divisional round than what they did last year. Last year, we had it was the Chiefs and the Bills in that setup, and then obviously the Ravens and the Texans, because that didn't go well after the Browns lost to the Texans. They got to then take on Baltimore. But we don't have to live in that world. Nick.
I don't even remember it.
But the idea is that it's the same four quarterbacks, and that to me is what stands out the most. And listen, Joe Burrow's not a part of that. I think most people, if you wanted to talk about the four best quarterbacks in the sport, you would swap out C.J. Stroud. You would put Joe Burrow in there. But yeah, like if you want to be at the top, it's not just having a quarterback, it's having a team that can consistently be there, which is something that we've kind of expressed over the previous couple months.
But I think this is where...
There's no flash in the pan here.
But this is where making sure, if you're going to take a swing at a quarterback, that guy's got a real ceiling to him and that you're committed to like understanding, all right, what is his ceiling and how do we get there? Because I think the other beautiful part of this is, you know, Mahomes, the number two pick, or the number two quarterback off the board.
Yep.
Josh Allen, the number three quarterback off the board. Lamar was the number five. CJ Stroud was the number two quarterback off the board.
Yeah.
So, and each one of those teams, I really think if you're going to get a franchise quarterback out of this, I think it's going to come more by the way of an Allen or a Lamar, where that first year, everyone looks around like, we took this guy, you know? Or maybe you don't even see him year one. And then it's just step by step progression.
Lamar went quicker than most because Lamar year two won the league MVP. Year three was when Josh Allen really put it into overdrive.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, again, you don't have to take forever on this stuff, but you do have to be a little patient at times.
Well, but in fairness to the Lamar thing, yeah, he was a great runner in year two, which is why he got to where the MVP. What's so cool about the Lamar story this year is the last 2 years, he's hit a different level as a passer.
Yeah, no, he's ascended. And that's why, that was why they were hesitant to pay him all the money a couple years ago. They didn't know that he could take that next level step as a passer, and look at him now.
Not just him, the rest of the NFL. He's just a running quarterback. I mean, but that's...
Still fighting the Bill Polian curse.
It really is. I mean,
by the way, we talked about Jalen Milroe a lot. He's got to fight those same narratives.
And I think that again, gets back to the idea of this is... I don't think a lot of teams do this, but I think fans look at it this way. It might not be quarterback room in the prism of 1 year. This might take 2 or 3 years of building to get, or 2 years of getting where you want to. But every time you look up and you see, C.J. Stroud's made it to the divisional round 2 years. 2 years in a row. It feels like this is Josh Allen's place in the sun. Lamar in the AFC title game last year.
Mm-hmm.
We know who the Chiefs are. The lesson here is, the thing we should make of this is, build it the right way. And that begins with a quarterback for me, having that high ceiling. But you're right. The other half of it is, all right, the trenches, they need fortified. You know, the key positions, you probably need another wide receiver that's a vertical threat. Like, go out there, even if it means, in my opinion, trading down and getting enough that you can go ahead and just stack the roster while you have a veteran quarterback with a young quarterback kind of developing there. Let's go with Jim in Cleveland. Jim, what would be your Godfather offer at the number two pick, or is there one?
Well, what I would do, I think Shador is definitely the right pick for number two. And what you could do, the only option I would have is if dad goes to Dallas as the coach, then you would offer him Shador, Weekit, Dak, and two more players.
So I think if you get Dak, I think to take on Dak, and Jim, thank you for the call. I think Dak's got to be enough in that. Meaning, you can't get a lot more like high profile players. Just take Dak and multiple picks.
Yeah, you're not getting like Dak and CeeDee Lamb. Like, that's not reality.
Yeah, and I like the idea of Dak. I really do. In a vacuum, I understand that. Like, I would probably take Dak over Darnold. I'd probably take Dak over any of the quarterbacks we've talked about, and we've talked about quite a few, and it's only the 17th of January.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, there's something about I don't really think Deion's going there, and I would be surprised if almost any other owner, like if Deion ended up in Vegas, I could see him saying the only way I'm coming here is if we trade to two, and it puts Vegas in a bind and they have to make the trade. I don't think Jerry's getting strong-armed. Unless ultimately that's what Jerry wants.
82-year-old Jerry might be a little bit different than 72-year-old Jerry even.
Which Ohio State team will show up on Monday night? Joey Kaufman of the Columbus Dispatch tells us next at 4:03 on 92.3 The Fan.